Thank you, Michael. Really appreciated that. Great thoughts on this week's parashah. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Working our way through 1 and 2 Corinthians, and we are actually getting close to the end. Main themes: Paul defended himself from those who still opposed him in Corinth. Paul was a true apostle. He was superior to the false apostles some of the Corinthians followed. Paul and his team started Messiah's community in Corinth, which was one of the most prominent cities in Greece. The congregation grew into a significant community. After being there for a year and a half, Paul left Corinth. After he left, the community started to divide. Some of the people were supporting their favored leader and criticizing, opposing, and undermining other leaders, even great leaders like Paul. To address this problem and other problems, Paul and Sosthenes wrote the letter that is known as 1 Corinthians. After Timothy returned to Corinth, he was part of Paul's team, he informed Paul that the divisions in the Corinthian community had gotten worse. The faction who opposed Paul was growing in influence. This motivated Paul to change his plans and visit them immediately. But this visit was a painful visit, in which Paul experienced more attacks from his opponents, while the rest of the community provided little support. Paul then returned to Ephesus and wrote a severe letter to the Corinthians and sent it to them by Titus. The purpose of this severe letter was to communicate his love for the Corinthians, urge the people to repent, demand the punishment of the leader of the opposition who was opposing Paul. Most of the people united. They confronted the man who had been leading the opposition. The man repented, and most of the Corinthians were now favorable toward Paul. Most, but not all. Some were still opposing Paul. Paul then wrote another letter known as 2 Corinthians, which we have been considering. In these last four chapters, Paul again defended himself from those who were still opposing him. One of the attacks directed against him was the accusation that he was not a true apostle. Or if he was an apostle, he was inferior to the other apostles, including the so-called super apostles. And to make things even worse, some of these other apostles that some of the Corinthians were following were in reality false apostles. Paul was a true apostle, and he defended himself against this accusation that he wasn't an apostle or an inferior apostle by telling the Corinthians about his qualifications, his accomplishments, and the extent of his sufferings. However, since a wise man does not like to call attention to himself, a wise man does not like to boast about himself and his accomplishments, making himself look a little foolish, he asked the Corinthians to put up with him while he did boast about himself and his accomplishments. I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. The rabbi knew he was devoted to the Lord, and that some of the so-called apostles that some of the Corinthians were supporting were not devoted to the Lord. The Corinthians needed to trust him and not be led astray by those who were not devoted to the Lord. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Messiah, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Messiah. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Yeshua other than the Yeshua we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Just as there is a bad kind of anger and a good kind of anger, a righteous anger, there is a bad kind of jealousy and there is a good kind of jealousy. Bad jealousy is feeling resentment towards someone because of the other person's successes or advantages. Bad jealousy is motivated by selfishness. The person who is jealous wants the other person's successes or advantages for himself. Good jealousy is the feeling that comes from understanding that it's right for the other person to have his successes or advantages. And he wants to protect the other person from having his successes or advantages taken from him by someone else who doesn't deserve them. The false apostles were like the serpent who deceived Eve. The Corinthians were like Eve, who was deceived by the serpent's cunning. The false apostles were influencing Messiah's followers in Corinth to go astray from the Lord and his teachings and his spirit in a cunning way. So Paul had godly jealousy. He had proclaimed the good news to the Corinthians. He had founded the community. Just as a father gives away his virgin daughter to her husband, Paul had given the Corinthians to the Lord Yeshua in a pure condition. He wanted them to remain in a pure condition, to remain faithful to the Lord Yeshua, and not be seduced to something else. Just as a husband has a right to his wife and no other man has a right to her, so the Lord has the right to the devotion and the faithfulness of his people. Messiah's followers in Corinth needed to remain faithful to the Lord, faithful to his message, the gospel, faithful to his spirit. They needed to stop listening to the false apostles who were leading them astray. They needed to listen to true men like Paul. Some of the Corinthians believed that there were ordinary apostles, as if any apostle could be ordinary. And then there were super apostles who were greater than ordinary apostles. Again, some of the Corinthians were attacking Paul by claiming that he was not a true apostle, or if he was an apostle, he was inferior to other apostles, and he was especially inferior to these super apostles. The rabbi knew better. I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. What qualified a man to be a super apostle, according to these Corinthians? Well, one qualification he must have, he had to be an eloquent speaker. He had to be really good with words. Paul acknowledged that he was not an eloquent speaker, but he also informed them that he had a much more valuable skill. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. People can be eloquent speakers. They can speak eloquently and be eloquently wrong. They can be eloquently foolish. It is much better to have knowledge and be able to communicate the truth in a simple way than speak eloquently and be wrong or foolish. Would you not agree? Paul might not have been an eloquent speaker, but he had knowledge. Another accusation against Paul. The other apostles were worthy of being supported financially by the Corinthians, and these other apostles didn't hesitate to ask the Corinthians for their financial support. But on the other hand, Paul didn't ask for their financial support, and he was not worthy of receiving their financial support. It's true that Paul had not asked the Corinthians for their financial support, not because he wasn't worthy of it, however. He had other reasons for not taking their money. He asked them a question that revealed that he had done nothing wrong by not taking money from them to support himself and his team. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? When people provide us with a valuable service, we pay them. And by paying them, we honor them. By refusing payment for the valuable services he provided them, Paul refused honor. He lowered himself as he was elevating them by teaching them. It's not a sin, however, to preach the good news about God, the good news that comes from God, the good news about God, free of charge. That's not a sin. So if Paul did nothing wrong by preaching without charging them, then why attack him for doing that? This accusation must stop. The real reasons why Paul did not want to take their money, he didn't want to be a burden to them. He didn't want them to think that he was in it for the money. He wanted to show them that he was different from the other so-called apostles who were in it for the money. Those were the real reasons he didn't take their money. I robbed other churches, he writes, by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia, the region to the north, supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. Don't muzzle the ox while he is threshing. The laborer is worthy of his wages. You've heard that before, yes? A congregation, a community, is obligated to support those financially who are serving the Lord in a full-time way among them. Paul had the right to be supported by Messiah's people in Corinth while working among them, but he didn't make use of that right. Instead, he chose to be supported by other communities while he was working among the Corinthians. The rabbi must have shocked the Corinthians when he called that robbery. He was robbing other congregations so as to serve the Corinthians. If anyone was in the wrong about this situation, about not receiving money, it was the Corinthians, not Paul. And Paul let them know in a very strong way that it was his intention to make sure that this situation continued. As surely as the truth of Messiah is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia, that's Greece, the area in which Corinth was, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine that he would not be supported by the Corinthians, that he would work among them free of charge. When a person makes a declaration and appeals to the truth of Messiah in them, like Paul just did, as surely as the truth of Messiah is in me, if that declaration was a lie, then Messiah will punish that person for that lie. Paul was assuring them in a very strong way that he was telling them the absolute truth. He asked two questions and then answered them to help them understand that he was refusing their money not because he didn't love them. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. So again, Paul appealed to God to back up his assertion of his love for them. God knows I do love you. If Paul's assertion was a lie, then God, who knows everything, would punish him for that lie. Again, Paul was assuring them that he was telling them the truth. If someone wants to give us money and we refuse to take the money, the person who wants to give us money might think we don't love him. That's why we're refusing his gift. He might feel rejected by us. Paul wanted to make sure the Corinthians understood that the reason he refused to take their money wasn't because he didn't love them. He did love them. And he was appealing to the all-knowing God to support his assertion. The rabbi refused to take money from them because he wanted to show them that he was different and better than the so-called apostles that they were following, at least some of them. And I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. Some of the Corinthians believed that some of the other apostles were superior to Paul, but they were not superior to Paul. They were not even equal to Paul. In fact, they were inferior to him. The truth was that many of them were not even true apostles at all. There is the true God, and then there are false gods. There is the true Messiah, and there are false messiahs. There are angels of light, and there are dark angels who are able to masquerade as angels of light. There are true apostles and there are false apostles. One false apostle can do a tremendous amount of damage to God's people. Paul knew that. And it was important for the Corinthians to know that and to be able to discern the true apostles like him from the false apostles that some of them were following. So he spells it out. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Messiah. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. False apostles masquerade as representatives of the Lord, as apostles. They appear to represent the Lord. However, in reality, they represent the Lord's enemy, Satan, the adversary. But they masquerade, they appear as representatives of the Lord. They are deceitful workers. They appear to be working for Messiah, but in reality, they work for the adversary. But they appear to work for the Lord. Just as the leader of the fallen angels, Satan himself, can appear as a beautiful angel of light, wise and good, the devil's servants know how to appear as servants of righteousness, men who are doing what is right, men who are committed to what is right, even though they are doing great evil. How can we identify a false apostle, a false prophet, a false pastor, a false rabbi? I have found that they cannot stay within proper boundaries. Theological boundaries, sexual boundaries, financial boundaries. They can't stay within theological boundaries. They teach serious error. They can't stay within sexual boundaries. They engage in sexual immorality. They can't stay within financial boundaries. They are greedy for gain. So if a spiritual leader cannot stay within theological boundaries, sexual boundaries, financial boundaries, he may be a false apostle, false prophet, false pastor, false rabbi. These false apostles might fool God's people, or at least some of God's people, but they can't fool God. And he will punish them. And you can be sure that their punishment will be very severe. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Are there false apostles, false prophets, false pastors, false rabbis today? Yes, there are. Again, some members of the Corinthian community were loyal to false apostles and disloyal to Paul, the true apostle. Paul felt it necessary to defend himself by calling attention to his qualifications, his accomplishments. But he didn't want the Corinthians to think that he was being foolish for calling attention to himself or boasting about himself. So he asked them to please tolerate his boasting, even if it may appear to be foolish. I repeat, let no one take me for a fool, but if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. The Lord Yeshua would never boast about himself like Paul was about to, but Paul was not the Lord Yeshua, and he felt it was necessary for him to boast about himself. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Most people love to call attention to themselves and their accomplishments. Since the false apostles were doing that, Paul decided it was necessary for him to defend himself in the same way. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. He used sarcasm to inform them that the truth was that they were the real fools, not him. You gladly put up with fools since you are so wise. The truth was that the false apostles were the fools, and those in Corinth who followed them were the real fools for following the other fools. The rabbi informed them that they should be able to endure his foolish boasting since they tolerated real abuse from the false apostles. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs or slaps you in the face. Leaders need to be strong, but not abusive. There's a difference between strong leadership and abusive leadership. Paul and those who worked with him, like Timothy, were good leaders. The Corinthians should be loyal to them, not to the false apostles who were abusive leaders. More sarcasm. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. Too weak for enslaving, exploiting them, taking advantage of them, slapping them in the face. We were too weak for that. Paul and his team were not abusive, not because they weren't strong men, strong leaders. They were strong men. They were strong leaders. But they knew they should be gentle servant leaders, not tyrannical, abusive leaders. After explaining the reasons why he needed to call attention to himself and his accomplishments, to defend himself and his ministry, which was so important, Paul began doing just that, calling attention to himself and his accomplishments. Whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. And here we go. Are they Hebrews? The false apostles were Jewish, which is not surprising. Almost all the leaders in this part of the first century were Messianic Jews. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelis? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. The false apostles were members of the chosen people, Israelis, Hebrews, Abraham's descendants. Paul shared the same heritage they did. In this aspect, he was their equal. As to his service to Messiah, he was not their equal. He was their superior. Are they servants of Messiah? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. His superior service to Messiah was seen in two areas. He worked harder and he suffered more. I have worked much harder by traveling to many more places, proclaiming the gospel, establishing many congregations in the eastern part of the Roman Empire, by teaching, by correcting, by working as a tent maker when he had to. I have worked much harder. And he suffered much more for the Lord than almost anyone. And suffering for the Lord is a kind of serving the Lord, working for the Lord. And so he now lists his suffering for the Lord. I have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, whipped, flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jewish people the 40 lashes minus one. The number 40 is the number of judgment. The Torah allows for 40 lashes, a person to be whipped 40 times. To make sure that amount wasn't exceeded, the Jewish people made sure that the amount was diminished by one, 39 lashes. 5 times I received from the Jewish people 40 lashes minus one. He was whipped very severely 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones, almost stoned to death. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. Another kind of suffering. He had no place to call home, no place to rest and relax. I've been constantly on the move. Another kind of suffering, experiencing continual danger. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. Another kind of suffering, being deprived of things necessary for life. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Another kind of suffering, the mental and emotional stress that comes from concern about those entrusted to your care. And Paul had many, many people, congregations entrusted to his care. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches, all the communities that belong to Messiah. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? The pressure, the stress, the mental and emotional pressure and stress that comes from concern for those entrusted to your care. Paul experienced that on a continual, constant, daily basis. Another kind of suffering, having the governor of an important city wanting to arrest you so much that he had the entire city guarded to make sure you would be arrested. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Yeshua, who is to be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. And again, he's assuring them that he's speaking the absolute truth. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. A true apostle works hard for the Lord, suffers for the Lord, experiences danger and life-threatening situations for the Lord. There is no question that Paul was a true apostle, a great apostle, one of the absolute greatest apostles. He should be followed. He should be honored. He should be respected. All opposition to him must cease immediately. The false apostles were the ones who should be opposed, not him. In the next chapter, Paul gave other qualifications that show he was a true apostle. Rabbi Glenn should be teaching on that next week. I recommend that you come back to hear it. Let's pray. Father, may we never be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Messiah. Father, no other Yeshuas for us, no other spirits, no other gospels for us. Amen.